Great light shines best in great darkness. That is a lesson we learned as we traveled many miles in the darkness of night. And I know. Nighttime is the most dangerous time to travel. However, there's a great degree of difficulty in following a star in the daylight. We were looking for royalty, but we had no idea what we were going to find, eh? I've been in the outer courts of princes and kings, noisy assemblages these, hangers-on on every corner, quarters of favor, making endless racket, scheming, chattering, everyone wanting an audience with nobility. And none of that here. No. Here, silence. Lingering, calm, awestruck silence. Here, a newborn, wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. There were two milk goats standing silently behind him. Chickens pecked on the ground. An exhausted woman and a humble man. And outside, shepherds. Shepherds timidly watching, and all are silent. We dare not say a word. We bow down. We worship. And we gently lay our gifts on the ground. I've spent the bulk of my days searching for the truth of it all. Trying to make sense of this life. But that search, it was different. That time, while we were searching, we were also being led, not merely by a star, but by the hand of Almighty God. He led us. He led us to the one in whom all truth rests. He led us to a child, a baby, a king.
The wise men traveled to Bethlehem from the eastern land somewhere on the other side of the Arabian desert. They didn't merely wander or let the wind blow them in whatever direction, but they moved with intent. They came on purpose with purses that were filled with gifts for royalty. The ones known as the Magi came to honor the newborn king. We've been looking at these different biblical characters or these people's stories that is recorded throughout Scripture. And this morning we're going to look at the wise men, which we find in the book of Matthew. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, we'll start there. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the reign of King Herod, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious laws and asked, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them that the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that had set in the eastern guided them to Bethlehem. and went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed and worshiped him. And they opened up their treasures and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not return to King Herod. So, you know, this is our family service this morning. So welcome, kids, to our upstairs service. It's great to have you here. Kids, how many wise men were there? Three. You know, the Bible tells us that there was, Christmas carols tells us. But many scholars, and scholars are people who really study the Bible, they believe that there must have been way more than three. For the three travelers, if there was only three wise men, they would have never been known. But let's just say there was like 100 of them. Do you think that that would be noticed? I believe that would have caused quite the stir in the city. And then kids, where did the wise men go to find baby Jesus? Bethlehem, to a manger. See, that is something else that we can learn from Christmas carols. But in verse 11, the Bible says they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure gifts and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which was a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, does anyone know what prophecy means? That's a big word. You know what prophecy means? What does prophecy mean? You forgot? I did too. It means that it was spoken about long before it happened. It means that, in fact, 700 years before Jesus was born, the Bible talked about that. Isn't that amazing? The Lord showed us about the birth of Messiah before Jesus was ever there. We can read this in Micah 5:2 in one place. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. So the Bible tells us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem 700 years before Jesus was born. Another amazing fact of the Bible is, I don't know if you knew this, but do you know that Bethlehem means the house of bread? Isn't that cool? Why is that cool? Because in John 3:16, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus was born, but then someone tried to kill baby Jesus. Do you remember who that was? King Herod. That's right. So history shows us that Herod was a very short man. Liberty, how tall are you? You are taller than Herod. Historians tell us that Herod was 4'5". Is there anybody who's around 4'5" in here? You, come on up here for a sec. How tall are you? 4'6". Perfect. So this was King Herod. Welcome, King Herod. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that put it into perspective? Thank you so much. So King Herod, the Bible, thank you, yes. Historians tell us that he was a short person, but yet he did extremely big things. Do you know that King Herod built cities? He built massive expansion on the temple, which was so large that it then became known as Herod's temple. And yet, we also know that Herod was a very wicked man. You know what? He loved more than anything else being king. But he attained the king not through birthright, because if you understand, the birthright who should have been sitting on the king, in the throne, was a Jew. But yet he did it through political coercion. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? That means, kids, that he wormed his way into the throne. Herod was not a Jew, but he was an Edomite. And a Jew should have been the one sitting on the throne. But you know what? He loved being king so much that he was afraid that as his sons got older, that one of them would take away his throne. So you know what he did? He killed his own kids. He killed his sons and he killed his wife. And then I guess the next day he started feeling bad about that. So he erected a temple as a memorial to his family. And that temple is known as Herod's temple. Is known as Herod's Tower. And it is still standing in Jerusalem today. So now that we understand a little bit more about how much Herod loved this throne, he loved this throne so much that he was willing to kill his own kids to keep it. I think we understand a little bit more now why Jesus would have been such a threat. You remember there in verse 2 that the wise men said to Herod, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" Oh, that would have been, wait a minute. A Jew is supposed to be sitting on the throne. Did you say that there was a new king in town? And that would have made him so mad that he would have done anything that he could to stop that from happening because he loved being king. So the wise men are the first to call Christ king. And Herod would have received news of a coming king, and that would have sprung him into action because he didn't want anything to happen to his precious throne. So the wise men, as a guest in Herod's country, were told in verse 8, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for this child, and when you find him, come back to me and tell me so that I too can worship him." Guys, is this truth? Did Herod want to worship the king? What did he want to do? But did the wise men know that? No, they didn't know that. So isn't that hard? Isn't it hard when all of a sudden somebody tells you something and you think it's truth? And then you're like, okay, we're going to go to Bethlehem. We're going to go find this king. And then we're going to go back and tell Herod where he is. But yet Herod had a hidden agenda, which we know what it is. And now Herod, we know that he didn't want to worship the baby, but the wise men didn't know that until later when God told them in a dream. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Isn't that amazing? The Lord speaks clearly to however many wise men there were. This Christmas season, kids, I want us to take some time to think about something. Can we just take a moment and turn around and look at that back wall? Can we as a church read that out together? Summit Church will rise to know God, be transformed, live empowered. And it's our first series in the Way of the Manger, we learned in our series here that God spoke to Mary. And then you know what? The next week we talked about Joseph and we saw that God spoke to Joseph. And then last week we talked about the shepherds and guess what? God spoke to the shepherds. And this week we just learned about the wise men. And did God speak to the wise men? And what I love about that is the wise men were deceived, but the Lord showed them the truth. And guess what? God still speaks today. And guys, God wants to speak to you. This Christmas season, it is important not just for all the old people like me in this church, but it's important for you guys to be able to get together and as a family, journal what the Lord's speaking to you. You know what? What year is coming up right around the corner? 2020. And you know what's really kind of neat about 2020? It's a leap year. Okay, I didn't know that. That is cool. But you know what else is cool? Is when you get your eyes tested, what do they tell you is good vision? 2020. And do you think that God wants us to have good vision in 2020? He wants us to know because there's things maybe in our life that we've been deceived of. There's things in our life that we can grow and the Lord can speak to us as kids, us as adults, and us as a family. I've asked our, so great to have our children's pastor with us today, Pastor Pat, and he's going to close off our service today. We're just going to have a shorter family service because we want to get together and have that fellowship afterwards. But let's welcome Pastor Pat as he shares.
Thank you, Pastor. He thinks it's a short service, but he asked me to speak. So we're going to be here until 11:30, which is just fine. So right after we got here, we have a good friend of ours who used to be the youth pastor over in Sydney, is now pastoring down in Ennis. And that's Pastor Greg Ledgerwood down there. And we didn't have a Wednesday night service when we first got here. Melinda had gotten here a day before me, and she's able to come in and be part of a service that was going on here before I got here. And then I came, and the next week we didn't have anything going on here on the Wednesday night because school hadn't started. We hadn't started the Wednesday night programs yet. And so we took off down to Ennis because they were having a missionary come in to speak, and we wanted to go and hear what the missionary had to say, and plus say hi to our friends down there. So we went down there, and we knew there was going to be a mission service, so we planned on giving something to support the missionaries. And I thought on the way down, like, well, I'll just be like most people. I'll throw $20 into the offering, and we'll support the missionaries that day. And we went down, and as he's speaking, God began to speak in my heart and say, you need to give more than $20. I'm like, I plan to give $20. So that's what I'm going to give, is $20. And God continued to push on my heart, saying, no, you need to give more than $20. And I was like, fine. I'm like, fine. Fine, God, I'll give 50, you know, I'm feeling generous, and I happen to have cash in my wallet, which I usually don't carry, so I'll give $50, and God said, no, you need to give more than that. And I was like, no, I said 20, and now I'm doing 50, God, so we're doing pretty good. That's more than double. I can do math. I work with kids, and so we're going to do more than that, and God continued to push on my heart a different number, and finally, we get to the end of the service, they're going to do the offering, I finally go, okay, God, I believe this is you, so I'm going to give the amount that you have told me. And I pulled out my wallet. I pulled out every denomination of bill that I had in my wallet, and I was $20 short. I went, God, I thought this was you. I'm supposed to give this amount, but I'm $20 short of what I'm supposed to give. I'm not hearing you. I thought that you spoke, and this is what I was supposed to do, and I was going to be obedient, but I tried, I guess. I don't know. And Alinda leaned over to me at that point. And I don't even know if she's aware of this, but she leans over and she goes, I don't know what you were planning on giving, but I have $20 on me. You want to put that into the offering? And I went, wow. And so I took that and we gave that amount into the offering that night. God spoke, and it took me a while, but I got there and I listened to him and I wanted to be obedient to him. And then he empowered me to do what he had spoken to me to do. And it was not only his empowering, but it was a confirmation that it really was him. It was a powerful moment for me, not just because I was being obedient and giving, but because God was confirming, I am speaking to you and speaking to your heart and leading you. We were talking with the kids last week, Wednesday night, I was talking with the kids about at the lower level, about how we all give different gifts to other people during Christmas season. But it's Jesus' birthday, right? It's the time that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. Wouldn't it be nice if we gave him a gift at Christmas time? And I asked the kids, what gift do you think that Jesus would want us to give? What gift do you think that Jesus wants? I don't know if there's any kids that were down here that remember that. Are there any kids that in here that remember what gift? Jerry remembers. The biggest kid there. I see a hand way in the... Is that Charlotte? I can't see you. Charlotte, what gift did we want to give to Jesus? Ourselves. That's the gift that Jesus wants us to give. The wise men came and they laid down gold, frankincense, and more. And they laid that down for Jesus. But God wants us to give him ourselves. And he will lead us as we get to know God, as we know him better, and we begin to hear his voice more clearly. We're transformed and we begin to actively listen for his voice. It's amazing what you can hear when you listen to it. I've got 3 kids. It's amazing what they don't hear when they don't want to listen, but it's amazing what they hear when they want to listen. And then as we begin to live out, living this empowered life, we begin to do the things that he's telling us, we will be empowered by his spirit to do it, just as all of a sudden I couldn't meet the amount that I felt God had told me to give, but God empowered me through another. Just as the wise men wanted to worship Jesus and see him grow up to be the king, they couldn't have succeeded in that without listening and being empowered by him and knowing, don't go back to King Herod. Let's listen for God. This Christmas, be the gift that you give to Jesus, and he will tell you how to do that. You do that by listening for him and doing what he tells you, led by his Spirit. Know God, be transformed, and then live empowered by him to do what he's telling you. Let's be the gift to Jesus this year. Listen, he is speaking. Prayer Summit's coming up. God speaks in amazing ways at Prayer Summit, but he wants to speak to you every day, and he'll lead you into what that looks like. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. I love that you love us. I am blown away by that. And this year, this Christmas season, you have just been reminding me everywhere I look about how you love us and you want to be in our lives and you want to lead us and you're constantly speaking. Help us to hear your voice, to choose in our hearts to obey your voice and then be empowered by your Spirit to live what your voice is telling us to do every day. Whether it's giving something financially, saying a kind word to someone, showing love, just going and doing what you tell us to do. Lord, may we be your gift this year at Christmas. Help us to hear you and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we close the service this morning, if you want prayer, if you want to come up and you say, I want to hear God's voice, or I want to respond with his power to do what he's telling me to do, and you want prayer for that, you're invited to come up and we will pray with you and seek God with you. But let's close this morning just seeking him as the worship team leads us.